Blog Talk Radio.
My man. Hey, everybody. Thank you. This is Wardell Price Jr. for Solar Records Radio, and this is the big Solar Weekend, and we kick it off celebrating the sound of Los Angeles Records. And so blessed and so grateful that I have my big brother, T. Miami Kane, on the line with us. How you doing, T?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. I'm doing wonderful. Just want to say hi to everybody.
Yeah, guys. Just, so this is T. Meyer McCain from Lakeside, and I tell you, this guy has been just a rock from the time I met him and still up to this point. It's so good to have a big brother like that in your life, isn't it? Man. So... I brag too much about you, T. I'm sorry. I love you so much, you know, and I appreciate you so much, man. And You have such a beautiful wife, and I see your pictures and your beautiful family, and God has really blessed you in all of this your journey. Your journey has just been amazing, man. So can you just share about your journey to us, man? You know, how you ended up with Lakeside, and go ahead.
Okay, well, how Lakeside got formed, it was basically Mark Wood Jr. And myself. We were with some other guys, and we called ourselves the Nomads. And we all lived around in the same neighborhood, so we could walk to each other's house. And Stevie, we always went over Stevie's because he was the only one that was actually working with a band of adult musicians and good musicians. And we, you know, we just kind of admired that. And then Stevie talked to the band. They were called the Monterays. And he talked to the band about letting us do some songs with the band. Well, we ended up doing a full set. And there are, in fact, a couple of sets. And the band really liked us. And when you put that band, the Monterays and the Nomads together, man, you was in for a treat because the band had a set by themselves that was good. And then you added us, and that just made it that much better. So it was Mark Wood, Brian Mulberry, and Tony White, James White. And we were the four up front. And then after a while, the Monterays wanted to go on the road. And we were too young. We were still in high school. And we couldn't just go out and just go on the road. So they fired us because they were grown men, you know, and they wanted to go out and keep working, you know, because we were just basically working on the weekends with them. So, but they wanted to keep going. So they fired us, and here we are. It was the four of us and Steve, and we had to find some people. Well, I had been dealing with Norman Beavers and Vincent Beavers. I met them a little while, you know, before all of this, and we talked and made a little music and stuff like that. And then it just kind of faded away because I went on with the Monterays and we did that. So after we got fired, Stevie called me one day and he said, "Man, I've got a band." I said, "You got a band?" He said, "Yeah." And so they came over my house for our first rehearsal, and lo and behold, it was Vincent and his brother Norman. And I said, "I know them, you know," and we just hit it off real good. But we needed a drummer, and it took a while, but we found Terry Williams, our drummer, and so we had it was eight of us then. We had a band and four singers, and we had Norman Beaver's mother was our manager, and we did little things around Dayton, you know, and stuff. But we was making some noise, you know. People were beginning to know who we were. And then out of the blue, Brian and Tony just quit. They said, "Man, I'm tired. We just don't want to do it anymore." I said, "I can't believe this, man." Because actually, to be truthful, it was the three of us. It was me, Brian, and Tony that started off singing together, and we did some talent shows, and Mark saw us, and he always wanted to sing with us, and then finally we got Mark in the group. So that's how it became the four of us up front. But, man, and it was something, you know, when they quit, because they were my buddies, man. But I stayed in Mark. And then Mark said, "Well, look, man, I'm going to talk to Thomas Shelby." And everybody knew Thomas. You know, if you were going to have a party in Dayton, you want Thomas Shelby to be there because then everybody knew it was happening. You know, so Tommy could dance, man. So I said, "Well, that's good. Mm-hmm. That'll keep us dancing." You know, so Tommy got in the group, and then we got Mark's sister Shirley. We had a girl in the group. It was Mark's sister. That girl could sing, man. And we had her stepping. I mean, she was stepping like we were, you know. And wow. we really, you know, we really made some noise in Dayton and the tri-state areas because we went on the road, you know, Kentucky and all those places. And then finally she got, she was in college, you know, we were still in high school, and she got tired of it, and so she quit. And when she quit, we was like, well, what are we going to do? And then
we got
Ricky Abernathy, who was off and on. Ricky was off and on with us because, you know, he would get wrapped up with the wrong crowd, and he'd end up getting in some trouble, and then they shipped off to some school and stuff. And so he finally came back, and we said, come on, Ricky, you know. And then Rick joined us, and we back to four again, Thomas Shelby and Ricky Abernathy, Mark and myself. And then we performed, and we just started stretching out, man. We ended up being with Kurtom Records. We signed with a guy by the name of Eddie Thomas with Kurtom Records. Actually, when we signed, we were going to sign with Kurtom Records, but Eddie Thomas had split from Kurtom. And Kurtom stands for Curtis and Thomas. So it was Eddie Thomas and Curtis Mayfield. And so he split and he started a record company called Lakeside Express. And he wanted to name us. He gave us a lot of different names, and we didn't like it. But then we ended up with Lakeside Express. It was in Chicago near Lakeshore Drive, and over it was the Lakeside Paper Company over there. And so it was on the side, by the side of the lake. So that's why he called us Lakeside Express, right? And we were okay with it, you know, so we kept it. And that didn't work out with him. We even went in the studio and cut a couple of tunes, but it didn't work out. I'm not sure what the stuff was behind that. We even at one time, we had the Temptations was going to manage us, Otis Williams and Melvin Franklin. And that's when we went to Detroit, you know. But that didn't jump off either. So finally we said, hey, man, let's just go out to California, you know, because Stevie, working with the Monterays, they had went out to California at one point and played in this club called the California Sahara. So we said, okay, let's just go. We just packed up our bags and just left. It was about, well, we had a few guys with us to help with the equipment. We had an MC and all of that. So it would end up being about 13 or 14 of us in a van with equipment and a big giant mattress. And we were in a van, a U-Haul van that we rented in Dayton and drove it all the way to California. So we got stopped in Mexico also. They was about to put us in jail, but somehow we got out of it. But
New Mexico?
Huh?
Not Mexico. You got stopped in New Mexico, right? Not Mexico.
Yeah. New Mexico, yeah.
Okay.
And,
okay.
You know, on the way, you know, we were just on the road,
right.
Man.
And
you know. And then we made it to California. And we went to the nightclub, but the nightclub wasn't doing that well. And the guy said, you know, and we told him, hey, man, we'll just play for free. And he said, okay, well, we didn't have any money to get a hotel, so he let us stay at the club. So we lived at the club.
Wow.
And then when we got ready to perform on the weekend, maybe about two or three people would come to the club, but those two or three people got the show of their life, because all we did was rehearse, you know. So,
oh my God!
When two or three people came in, and we gave them a full fledged show, man, and they enjoyed it.
Where was this? What was the name of this club?
California Sahara. It was on Santa Barbara. At that time, it was called Santa Barbara, I think. They changed it to Martin Luther King Drive. I think that's what it is now.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, yeah. But
yeah,
at that time,
did.
You know. And I'm telling you, man, we was starving, man, and we wasn't making any money. We would go down to the little store down the street and go and, you know, excuse me, everybody, but we would go in there and we would steal food.
Oh,
and there's one,
my goodness.
And there's one guy in the store, he knew that we were coming in there and stealing food, but he would just turn his head, you know, and we'd ease on out, you know. So that went on for a while. Then we started getting word about different clubs all over the place, you know. So we went to this one club called the Citadel, and we told them that, look, this weekend we'll perform for free. If you like us, hire us for the next weekend. And the guy said, cool. Man, we performed and turned the joint out. And the guy said, okay, you're hired. And that from that point on, we've been working. And then we came across Maverick's Flat. And Maverick's Flat became pretty much our home, man. When we came out here, people wanted to see us. They had lines all the way around the corner to get into Maverick's to see Lakeside.
Wow. And the strangest thing is that Maverick's Flat wasn't too far away from that club that you started in, right?
Right. It wasn't that far, no. No,
right. So
far.
I would think that the owner probably knew. Hey, this Maverick Flat is jumping off, and the same group is over there. What did I do wrong?
No, we stayed there till we start making enough money to get a hotel and stuff like that, and we got a hotel, and then we start meeting people, you know, girlfriends and all of that, and so you know, so it kind of went to that, you know. And then we started branching out, going to San Diego and different other places, and started performing. Then it came while being at Maverick's Flat, we had Norman Whitfield of Motown and Dick Griffey, who was a big promoter right at that time. I mean, he was the number one promoter all over the United States, and nobody could get into any venue. Nobody could get into any venue unless they got Dick Griffey's permission. I mean, he was big, you know, because, you know, he was the talent coordinator for Soul Train, you know, when Soul Train first started. He was the talent coordinator for that. So all the talent came through Dick Griffey to Soul Train. And so he was there, and he really liked the group, and Norman Whitfield really liked the group. So at that point, we were called Ohio Lakeside Express, and we were like, look, man, let's change our name, you know, because it's a BT Express, it's the Ohio Express. There was a lot of groups out called Express. So let's drop the Express, let's drop the Ohio, because we got the Ohio Players, you know. And so we dropped the Ohio, dropped the Express, and we just named ourselves Lakeside. And we got signed to Motown under the name Lakeside. And our producer back then was Frank Wilson. And, we learned so much from Frank and Norman. He was our producer. And he did about two cuts on us for Motown, but Motown never released it. As a matter of fact, when they did release it, it was mixed with some other songs on the compilation album. And they took our voices off and just kept our hand claps, and we did a couple of little things like ha ha ha, and that's all they kept. All the other singing that we did, and we did some good singing on there, they took it all off, you know. And then Frank Wilson left Motown. This is a long story, so you asked for it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Frank Wilson left Motown and went to ABC Records, and we signed with ABC Records, and we did a whole album, and we did release a tune that made some noise in California, and you know, but it didn't really go nationwide. It wasn't a big hit nationwide. It was just more kind of a local hit. It was called If I Didn't Have You. It was a beautiful song. If I Didn't Have You, and we recorded that, but it was with ABC Records, and it didn't do anything. So finally, Norman Whitfield kept trying to get with us, but Norman wanted to do everything. He wanted to write the songs and produce the songs, and he'd guarantee.
Huh? In case some of the listeners don't have any idea who Norman Whitfield is. Can you just give them a little idea who he is?
Okay. Norman Whitfield is the guy that produced the Temptations, Cloud Nine, Runaway Child, all pretty much all the big hits after Cloud
Nine. Exactly.
He produced a few songs. Smokey was producing the Temptations, and then they switched over to Norman Whitfield and Rolls Royce. Norman Whitfield produced Rolls Royce and a few other groups too. You know that
yes.
he was. Oh. That he was real big in producing. So he was he had left Motown himself and started his own record company. But he was a big producer at Motown, just like
big.
Frank Wilson. And he even used Lakeside to do some background vocals for some of the people that he was producing. So we worked with him, so we got the feel.
And just so the people know that Norman, even though he was that big, he was a mega producer, right? But he was so humble.
Right.
I would go him, Tommy Shelby from Lakeside, and I would go over to Norman's studio and play dominoes with him all day.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Oh,
sometimes
yeah.
We'll go out in the we'll go out in the park. And play dominoes if you don't.
Right. He
yes,
was definitely a people person. Yeah, he
yes,
was a people
yes.
person, you know, easy
yes,
to talk
yes.
to and everything, you know. And he would,
yes.
and whenever we were performing in California or in Los Angeles, he was always there at our performances. As a matter of fact,
yes,
he
yes.
had told Rolls Royce that they should try to get a show like Lakeside, you know, a powerful
oh, wow.
show like that, you
yes,
know, and.
Exactly.
So
yeah,
he was
yeah.
always around, yeah.
Yeah,
and we
okay.
got a chance to work with him, and the different ways that they worked, that him and Frank worked. Frank was very technical; everything had to be right in the pocket, right on key. I mean, he was very strict like that. So we learned,
mm-hmm.
and then we working with Norman. Norman was more on feel. If you had the feel. It was cool because I remember we recorded a line. We were singing and we recorded a line, and I said, "Well, I know we're going to do that over again." So I was, you know, we were all ready to redo that line again. It was a harmony line, and
right.
we said, "Aren't we going to do that again?" And he said, "No, no, no, leave it alone, leave it alone." And I realized mm-hmm. it was because the feel was there. So we started
right,
picking
yeah.
up little things as we work in, as we worked with different producers, and then finally that
okay.
ABC thing didn't work out. We still worked with Frank Otis, and I still worked with Frank. That's Otis Stokes and myself. We worked with Frank Wilson and doing background vocals for a lot of other musicians and stuff. Like for instance, our biggest thing that we did was with Lenny Williams. We did the background vocals for his song God, I can't the name of the song. It was a big hit because I love you. Yeah, we did that. As a matter of fact, we did about two of his albums. We did backgrounds for,
okay.
and then we worked
wow.
with other people, Merlin McCoo, Billy Davis. We did a background stuff for them and. Gosh, he had us working on a whole lot of people doing background vocals. So he
okay.
used Otis, just Otis and I for a lot of that, you know.
Oh, wow.
And okay. then finally it became the showdown between Norman Whitfield and Dick Griffey. So we didn't like
wait,
the fact that Norman.
What do you mean a showdown? What do you mean by a showdown?
Because the showdown was that Norman was fighting hard to get Lakeside to sign with them, with him, and Dick Griffey was fighting hard to get us to sign with him.
Okay.
But and the strength that that Norman Whitfield was trying to tell us was that he could guarantee us a hit. Okay, but then one day we was at the rehearsal, our rehearsal hall on Adams up in Los Angeles, and he
mm-hmm.
said,
"Well, I almost got
Dick,
shot over there, by the way."
Jeez. You what?
I almost got shot
say what?
By your rehearsal hall. I almost got shot by your rehearsal hall.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was a pretty serious area over there, but that rehearsal hall that we had was great. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a big, gigantic rehearsal hall.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact.
Yeah, it was big.
But go ahead, Eric.
So, anyway, we were at the rehearsal hall, and we got a phone call. And Dick Griffey said, I'm getting ready to come down there. I'm going to give y'all an offer you can't refuse. And we was like, okay. And he came down and he gave us an offer we couldn't refuse. He said, you guys can write your own stuff and you can produce, but you're going to have to produce with Leon Silvers. He said, I got to have an investment in there. So I'm going to put Leon Silvers in there. And we was like, cool, we don't mind because we kind of knew Leon, you know, and we was okay with that. You know, so we started working with Leon, and it was a good marriage. I mean, we got to, it was really good, you know. And plus, we had nothing but fun working with Leon, because, you know, Leon loved to laugh, right? I would break out in some of my characters, me and Otis, you know. We would break out in
y'all
our little characters. Yeah, and then, you know. And after I skipped something because Ricky Abernathy left the group because when we were with Motown, Ricky was with us. But when by the time we left Motown and signed with ABC Records and did a full album, that was with Otis. Otis that came in the group. And I was kind of worried because Ricky was a good singer and then we had to find somebody. We knew that Otis was available because he came out with his brothers, and they were in a group called Platypus from Ohio. So when Otis came out, he wasn't singing with anybody. He just came out because his brother had their own thing, and so we asked him if he wanted to join the group, and he said yeah. And our harmony blend was so great because you know I love those harmonies. Yeah. The harmony blends was so great. So then he got in.
But you forgot something else, too. You forgot something else. You heard about Fred, little Fred.
I was going to get to that, too, because Terry Williams, he left the group and went to, he stayed in Canada. And he had left the group, and it took us a while to actually find a drummer. You know, for a minute we had the drummer for Platypus, Curdy. He played a little bit with us. He was a great drummer. I wanted to keep him, but he was with Platypus. And then we had a couple other guys, a guy by the name of Floyd. Well, Floyd, man, you have to excuse. I can't remember, you know, I can't think of a lot of, so many details with Lakeside. But anyway, we had him for a while, and he was a good drummer and stuff. And then finally, Fred came, and I'm not sure how we met. We did. Fred was with another band, and we were performing somewhere. And he was with another band, and he really liked Lakeside. And somehow, I don't know if he quit the band or what happened, approached
him. The band decided that they were going to go, and he didn't want to go back. He wanted to stay there. And so he ended up staying. Him ended up staying in California. And so he ended up meeting you guys and hanging out with you guys. And y'all needed a drummer. Yeah.
And that boy was a good drummer, man. So see, you know more about Lakeside than I.
Fred and Steve. So I know the story just by just talking to you guys. And so once you guys did all that, it was on. It was on. How long did it take before? Go ahead.
No, it was on after we got Big Fred, Tim Bolling. We called him Tim Bolling, but this was Big Fred Lewis, and then after that we felt complete because he filled up everything with the music portion because he played the bass. It was nine of us all together.
Wow.
And we didn't really consider ourselves a band. We were just a self-made group. You know, we wasn't a four-man singing group playing with different bands. We were all self-contained. So, and that's how we wanted to keep it like that. So it was a nine-man group. And
so let me just ask you. Once you got signed and you had Thread and everything, you start working with Leon Silvers. How long did it take before you guys had your first release, your first hit, the solo?
Oh, it didn't take after we finished that the very first album, Shot of Love. The hit off of that album was All the Way Live.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, our first album we had a hit on it, and it was All the Way Live, and Big Fred wrote that. Fred Lewis wrote that one, you know.
The last right?
Yeah, and that's the one that jumped off the album and made a lot of noise for us, and then we started going on tour. So we went from playing in nightclubs to stadiums and forums and big places on the shows with a lot of people that we used to pay money ourselves to go see. Here it is, we're on the show with them, right?
Okay.
And
all
one
right,
of the
right.
things...
Go ahead.
I was just saying, while we were out on tour, a lot of the groups were very selfish because they wouldn't... We were a group that needed room because we danced. And a lot of these groups would fill up the stage and give us a little bitty spot in the stage because we were the opening act. And they would give us a little spot on. We couldn't hardly do anything, but it wasn't much we could say because the promoter was catering more to the other acts. We were just the opening act. But we started making noise, you know, and started doing a good show. And so they started using us more. But the main group that really tucked us up under their wings was the Barcades. Man, they gave us plenty of room on the stage. They let us use their lights, you know, to help enhance our show. We were like their little brothers, you know. So they helped us out a lot, you know, and that helped enhance our show. Go ahead. Yeah.
So let me ask you. Yeah, I wanted to just ask you. So you know, like, so this is, you're in it. You guys are doing it, but something personal was happening to you that had nothing to do with the band. And in this process, that you're starting to feel the Spirit of God working in you after. You know, you worked so hard to get here, and you're there now, but you feel God pulling you. What was happening? How was that working for you? You know, you're a secular guy. You're popular. People throwing themselves in prison. Just the whole world is doing the world that you occupy. But somehow you opened your heart to the Spirit of God. What? How did that come about? What made you go there?
You know, I've always had a feeling that I was going to eventually leave the group, and I didn't know when. I just had a feeling that would eventually happen. I was feeling the pull of going another path, another route, and. But I stayed with the group. Our success actually started after I gave my heart to the Lord. Then our success started, you know. And so I was with Lakeside throughout, you know, pretty much of the heyday of Lakeside, you know. And they knew my feelings about the Lord and stuff because before we would even move that bus to go on the road, before we left, they would not move the bus unless I anointed the bus and anointed the driver and prayed for the driver and everybody and prayed for everybody, you know. Then they felt safe to leave. And that happened every time we got ready to go on the road. They wouldn't move till the bus was anointed and we were prayed for the driver.
That's
and then
beautiful,
and
it,
Yeah, and then we got, and then before we would go and do our shows, we would get, come together, take hands, and we would pray. And Otis and I, we made sure that, that there were no inappropriate things going on, inappropriate talking or dancing on the, in the show. Our show was so clean that you could bring your kids to see our show.
It'd be good, yeah, awesome.
Yeah. And
let me just ask you, I might ask you some more questions before, because I don't want to, I don't keep you all day, but, you know, people are asking me questions to ask you, too. But I need to ask you Tell us about your costumes for every, who was creating these ideas of let's do this for the costume for this album, and let's do this for the costume for this next album, and who was the one behind that? Was all you guys behind this thing? Did somebody come up with the idea? Because the first time I saw you guys, you were all in white and cowboy, white cowboy hats. Y'all look like the Long Ranger.
Yes. By the time you saw that, we had. By the time you saw that, we had two albums already out. We had Shot of Love and Your Wish Is My Command. So you missed the genie outfits, and then with Shot of Love we were Robin Hood. So we would all come together, and just kind of, you know, throw some ideas out there. And then Fred Lewis's brother Dennis Lewis, he did all of our album covers, and he would make the, you know, make our characters have our faces and made our characters kind of cartoonish, and, you know, and we liked that concept. So we said with every album we're gonna dress according to the album that's out. And so we would come together with each album and just come up with some ideas. Hey, let's try this. No, let's try that. Da 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 da. And then finally, boom, we're genies for Your Wish Is My Command. And then the next one, let's do this. No, let's do this. Let's do cowboys, because we're rough. At one point, we would call ourselves the Rough Riders, and our crew was the Rough Riders. So we did an album called Rough Riders, and that's when you saw us with the cowboy situation. Then we did Untouchables, where we were like Elliot Ness, you know, back in the old days of the gangsters with the hats and all of that, and we did that one too. So, you know, we just had different ones. Before
was
I
everybody
left the group,
was it? Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Before you left the group.
No. What was your question?
I was just going to say, was there ever anybody that just saw this? I don't want to do that. The names, if it was. Everybody always consumed. Okay, cool.
No, nobody really. Once we came up with the concept, everybody was all in, and we just went head on into it, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so then you're about to say the last thing before you left.
Yeah, before I left Lakeside, we were going to cut an album called The Entertainers, and we were getting the album cover ready for it and everything, taking pictures and the whole works. But then I left the group, and we even recorded some songs for the album, but the ones that we recorded at that point was never released. And after I left, Lakeside went another route, and they recorded some other things. They got some other people in the group. I told them to get some young guys in the group so you can keep the dancing going, you know.
What year was that when you left?
Say that again. You kind of broke up.
What year was that when you left?
When I really officially left, I think it was like, was it in 86, 85, 86, somewhere around in there. Yeah.
Okay. Now, for a while I was still
on paper, but I wasn't performing with Lakeside.
Okay. I have questions, other questions I got to read to you. Okay. Is that okay? You got time? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What happened, and I'm reading this, what happened that made your faith more important than your music?
The Holy Spirit. once I got a taste of the Holy Spirit, you kind of know that there's something the Lord wants you to do. I didn't know exactly what it was at that point, but I knew that I loved the Lord. And I was still doing a lot of ministering even when I was with Lakeside. Different places we went, I would minister to people, tell them about Jesus and stuff like that. And even to our crew and different people that we came across. So I was still kind of doing the Lord's work. And what I liked about it is that a lot of people was willing to listen to me, I guess because I was with Lakeside, you know. They were willing to listen to me, so I began to use Lakeside as a tool for ministry. And it worked, different places that we went, you know.
Yeah. You got to do what you got to do, right?
Yeah.
And all of this
wasn't a big surprise for Lakeside because they knew how I felt about the Lord, and even when I left, it was like it was no hard feelings or anything like that because they kind of expected it to happen,
yeah,
you know,
right,
and.
Right.
So it was, and they still, you know, even to this day, they call me honorary Lakeside member because I was one of the founders, you know. So, you know, even now, if I were to call Mark or Stevie and wanted to get on stage with them, they would welcome me with open arms, you know.
There you go. Amen. So. It's nice to have to leave a good taste in people's mouths when you move forward. You know, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I have another question for you from the listeners, but this one is kind of, I'm not sure if it's a youth thing here, but anyway, it says, does your background help in bringing more youth in the church?
My background?
It helps a lot,
but a lot of you know, as generations go on, different people are into different musicians and stuff like that. But a lot of people, even for long after I left Lakeside, they would see me and still call me Lakeside. And a lot of people, especially the youth, they would go on YouTube and some of these other places, and they would see me performing. And they would, because, you know, back then I was a instructor, I was a teacher, you know, and they would say, Mr. T, is that you? You know, and all of that. And then they would hear, they've heard Fantastic Voyage and some of the other songs, but they didn't know that it was Lakeside. They didn't know it was me performing those songs. And when they found that out, it became, you know, a good thing. But most of it was just by me ministering to people that brought them to the church. It really wasn't, they weren't really drawn there because of Lakeside or my association with Lakeside.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so just for that, I'm going to ask you one more question, and then I want to play your song, then we'll let you go. I want to edit this question and put my own twist on it. So would you have stayed with Lakeside if you guys started doing more praise and worship music?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
So at any point, did you guys ever think about, well, I got to get at least one song to God on the album?
As a group, no. As a group. Individual people may, like Tommy wanted to do something, you know, a gospel thing. He's always wanted to do something like that himself. And Otis, you know, as a matter of fact, Otis and I, while we were in Lakeside, we were also in another group called the Upper Room Children, and that was from the church that we both of us went to, and we had some musician friends from there, even a friend from Ohio, Dayton, Ohio, that I used to sing with in high school. She was a girl. Her name was Cindy Floyd at the time, but she got married and she became Cindy Evans. And we formed a group called the Upper Room Children. And then after that group kind of faded out, we were still at the church, and then we formed another group. And this was just with me and Cindy Floyd and her husband at that time, Brian Evans. And we became Searchlight. And we recorded songs and performed with a lot of people, James Cleveland. I mean, gosh, so many. We performed and opened up for a lot of very popular gospel acts, you know, Shirley Caesar and all of that. And my wife was the manager at the time, you know. And so, yeah, so now I was still with Lakeside during all of that, you know.
Awesome.
But Lakeside themselves, I would have loved it if Lakeside would have did some gospel tunes, at least one, or you know.
And then like the listener said, then maybe you guys could have dressed up as pastors for the album. That has been funny. Oh man, that's been a wonderful thing. I was you guys got a new ministry going real quick here. We
know.
The record will be called Flip the Script.
Yeah.
But, so why don't you tell us about the release? When is your release date?
I know it'll be in a few weeks, but I'm going to have a meeting with the CEO of the company, and we'll find out for sure. And that'll be next week. I'll be meeting with her, and she'll let me know what the release date will be. But it will be
now,
in a few weeks. You know, I mean, really soon.
Okay.
And you know what's so good about that? What's so good about that, man, is that you know, it's Renegade Soul Records that I'm on, and it's an association with Solar Records. So, in a sense, I'm back with Solar.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to tell you that, first of all, I'm from the UK. Say hi from the UK. And also, you're getting love from Amsterdam, so say hello from Amsterdam.
Yeah.
And we know everybody knows who's in Amsterdam. That's Miss Ashley. Mm-hmm. But my brother, Greg. I just want you to know that, you know, we appreciate you, man, and your ministry is really a wonderful foundation for this station. We're so glad that you do what you do here for us as well, because sometimes we need to just go click on that link and be blessed by, you know, your ministry. So thank you for, you know, providing God's word for us to have a place to go, and in the time of need, because it just sits there. If you can just click on it when you need it, or you can click on it just because you want to. So thank you so much for that. And so why don't you tell us about your song?
The song that's out that's going to be released is called Jesus So Beautiful. And it's an up-tempo song. It's a very happy song. And that's what I wanted to capture, the joy. Because, you know, so many things going on now in the world, you know, and even with Christians being persecuted in different parts of the world and stuff that's going on here in the States and all over. I wanted to bring something joyful for people to listen to so that they can rejoice and still keep their faith and hope in the Lord and be happy in the Lord, you know. So I came up I'm sure it was by the Holy Spirit, that song, Jesus So Beautiful.
Awesome. And so we're going to take a listen to this by T. Meyer Payne, My Big Brother, and we'll be right back.
As the sun comes up and a new day dawns, there's no darkness over.
message. That is so uplifting for, you know, people that, you know, that really need that. And I have a friend who just lost her husband, and I know that the song will really bless her. She needs her spirits to be uplifted. So it's beautiful. Thank you. That is by you, right? Not by a group. It's by you, right? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That was a question that was asked in the group. And so anyway, man, oh man, you know. So please keep us informed as to when you actually drop it, so people can support your career, you know, download it and, you know, purchase it and stuff, and be a blessing to your ministry when you get a chance.
Amen.
And
okay,
and
I most definitely will.
And before
I definitely will.
Okay, before you say your closing statement, before you get the opportunity to do that, can you just share with us just the overall experience at Solar? What is there, like a moment or a time in your experience that you could go, it was just, you know, like for me, I'll just real quickly say, me being around Solar, I got to meet so many amazing people, and that was like the blessing. Look, I'm talking and interviewing, you know, my mentor right now, someone who blessed me and kept me close to Christ, even when I didn't want him to. But he was doing what he needed to do, as, you know, working for the Lord, and it really blessed my life. And this is over 40 years ago, and, you know, it's still working. He started it back then with me, and it's still working. That's powerful, and it brings tears to my eyes, and I love you for that. And I don't even know how or why you did that to me, but it was really a blessing, because I didn't teach me about girls and how to get all the girls, and which girls not to talk to. And he's talking to me about the Lord. So that's just one of those amazing experiences in Solar. But there are so many of them. And so go ahead on, and if you have any thoughts about your experiences and what was amazing for you.
Yeah. Well, first of all, with you, Wardell, it was some people praying for you. And the Lord just answered their prayers through me. That's basically what happened.
Amen to that. My mom was busy, bro.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, with my overall experience with Solar, I mean, gosh, here's a little guy from Dayton who had dreams of becoming, you know, a star and just knowing different people in the business. It was a dream come true. Even before we got signed with Solar, Dick Griffey hooked us up with Don Cornelius, and he always gave his Soul Train Christmas parties every year, and I went there and just met everybody. And I'm just in awe, you know. And then to actually sign with Solar Records and be in the studio working with Dick Griffey, working with Leon, and all of that, man, that was just what can I say? I was in my world. But the main thing that sticks out was with Dick Griffey, because, you know, he liked to laugh. Dick Griffey was another one that liked to laugh, and I always kept him laughing with my little characters and stuff. But one day he told me, he said, T. Meyer, I surround myself with talented, gifted people. And he said, surround yourself with talented, gifted people. And I use that as part of my life, you know. Now I surround myself with good musicians, but mainly I surround myself with anointed Christian people that keeps me strong in the Lord and keep the revelation going of knowing who Jesus is, because everybody have their experiences, and we learn from each other's experiences in the Holy Spirit. And I've learned a lot being around. And then he had me marry a woman that that's very gifted, you know, in the things of the Lord. So I'm around it all the time. I'm around his spirit and people that know and love him all the time. And through that, I've begin to do a lot of good works for the Lord, a lot of good works for him, for the kingdom of God. And it's all giving glory to him. My whole entire life, from the time I started singing to all my experiences at Solar Records and everything I've done after that, and especially with the things with the Lord, starting a church and the whole works. And I just give him all the praise and the glory, and meeting people like you, Wardell, and you opening up this opportunity for me to minister even further. So, you know, I thank the Lord for you for doing all of that. From the day I met you, there was something different about you than a lot of the other people. So, you know,
awesome.
To God be the glory, man. To God be the
glory.
God
be the glory. Amen, amen. So, in closing, is there anything you would like to say to any of the, you know, the listeners?
First of all, as a musician, I would like to thank everybody for supporting Lakeside, and throughout the years, and really being interested in the groups and entertainers at Solar Records. Just thank you all for your support. You are the ones that made Solar and their artists what we are today. Actually, we're legends now. You know. And I want to thank all you for that. But more importantly, I pray that all of you be in good health, that the Lord will bless and keep every one of you and will draw you closer to who he is, that you will get the revelation of Jesus Christ and know exactly who God is, so that you can fall in love with him more, and he will work miracles in your life, even during hard times. He's the mender of broken hearts. He's your provider, your healer, your supplier, your deliverer. So that's my prayer for you. Wax strong in the spirit of the Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. That's it.
Jesus. Amen. All right, my brother. You, Joel. That's what I expected. I got what I expected and more. So thank you so much. I appreciate it. And you never know who may show up here at Solar Records Radio. You just never know. God is good like that. So thanks, T, and be blessed. Take care of yourself. We appreciate you.
All right. Thank you, and it was my pleasure.
All right. All right, my brother. God bless. If this is Lakeside, I can't get you out of my head. All right, brother.
You must have put a spell on me.
Oh, man, what a beautiful song. Woo, Otis singing it. I thought they were telling me to sing it. I was starting to really get into it. I was in here singing, guys. Like, no, don't sing. Anyway, I got to get going with the music. Thank you so much to our brother T. Meyer. That was kind of him to come and share for almost an hour. Yeah, pretty much an hour about his journey with Solar. Wow, what a blessing. And thanks to my friends for comments and stuff as we were doing the show. I really appreciate that. So it's so beautiful, man, just doing this and the wonderful legacy. And God is good like that, right? So I have some friends on Facebook, and one of the things that they were talking about was a song that I wrote for. And so they keep talking about how much they love this song. They love this song, and they love the bass line. And so my friend who I wrote the song with was a bass player, or is a bass player, and he was the one that created the bass line. His name is Ron Parker. But Leon Silvers ended up playing the bass part on the record. So anyway, let's get right to the music. This is Wardell Pipes, the Solar Records Radio. We are celebrating the sound of Los Angeles records here in the United States from the 70s, 80s, and then this. Anyway, we're so blessed, and I'm blessed because of you guys. Check out my song on my group, Dynasty, from, what year? You tell me, 82.
Thank you. I know just what to do to keep you in my heart.
Don't rock that boat.
We found out in time.
Woo! Things to love by. Oh, man. I tell you, he makes you want to sing with him. Is that okay, guys? I know y'all, some of y'all got ish. Brother wanting to sing, but whatever. I don't care. Anyway. Oh, man. Oh, man. I tell you, that was Babyface, Tender Lover. And, you know, Babyface, was, I mean, he grew up in Solar. He got his break there. And that's why when we had the celebration at City Hall in Los Angeles, California, a few years ago, he was the main speaker because he wanted to show his appreciation for the blessing that was given to him by Dick Griffey. And so, man, oh, man, Dick is good at picking talent. And like T. Might say, he liked to surround us around talent and stuff. And so he did that very well. He was good at picking that out. And don't forget, Dick Griffey was a drummer. And so I never knew that. I never knew that until just last year. And so, but anyway, you know, when you listen to these interviews, sometimes you know, I'm listening to interviews and I heard somebody say that. I was like, what? And I had to start making phone calls to confirm that. And yep, it's true. He was a drummer. So anyway, with that, I want to play something else for you. This is Shalamar before Howard Hewitt. All right? This is Shalamar before Howard Hewitt. And this is a beautiful song. Gerald Brown was the lead singer at the time with Jody Watley and Jeffrey Daniels. All three of them were the lead vocalists. And so enjoy this music with us here on Solar Records Radio. And I hope that you are having a blessed beginning of your Solar weekend with us here on Solar Records Radio. And like, there's some people that had no idea who this was. Where Jackson 5 was so strong. Then you had the Osmonds that came out, and so then all these young groups that kind of looked the same, but the Silvers were one that was needed to be reckoned with when it came down to vocals. Their vocals were absolutely amazing. But anyway, this is Wardell Potts Jr., and we got about another 20 minutes left in the show. I want to thank all of you guys for tuning in. Thanks to my brother, T. Meyer McCain, from Lakeside, coming on and sharing his journey with Solar, with the sound of Los Angeles Records, with us. Thank you so much, man. Love you, love you, love you, love you so much. And I'm so grateful that he's also a part of our Solar Records radio team. He's just very lucky. And so also I want to give a shout-out to Julian. She donated money to our show. Thank you, sweetheart. Appreciate it. Love you over there in Detroit. And I'm going to play another song for you that's a little playing the usual songs today. I'm trying to mix it up a little bit, right? But all solar. So check this out. This here one is from the ladies. The ladies that always talk about, we need to have a meeting in the ladies' room. Who is that? Climax. And we'll be right back. This Solar Records Radio.
To come to this. Well, I'm back, but this time I'm with my man. And these women are putting their hands all over his Yamamoto Kanzai sweater that I bought. And I'm much, much unhappy about that. I'd hate to come down to the level and become a BW, a basic woman. But if they don't stop, it's gonna get scandalous. cause I'm not in the mood. Don't slap me, cause I'm not in the mood. Don't slap me, cause I'm not in the mood. Don't slap me, cause I'm not in the mood.
That was the first song, that was the first, I think it was the first single off of Dynasty's first album, Your Piece of the Rock, or at least that's the name of the record. That's the name of the album, one or the other. And so I just wanted to make sure, please, I never played that song before. And so to me, I just, it's not one of my favorite songs, but it's a part of our history, right? So there you go. I just wanted to play it for you. All right, guys, so listen. Have a blessed, wonderful, and loving weekend. Take care of yourselves and be good. And we'll catch you again later on Solar Records Radio. And And thanks again to Greg and Astrid for your wonderful, wonderful flyers and all the blessings that you guys do for us. Wow. Wow. I'm just looking at a flyer Greg just made for Tima. I got to send that to him. Wow, it's beautiful. Thank you, my brother. You guys take care of yourselves. Astrid, get some sleep. I know it's late overseas, and so we appreciate you hanging out with us. All the listeners overseas, thank you so much for hanging out with us. And tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern, not 3, an hour earlier, 2 p.m., Solar wants to dance. So if you want to come get your workout on with us, work out with us. It's just an hour of power-hitting, up-tempo jams, all right? So God bless you guys, and take care, and we'll catch you next time on Solar Records Radio.
Bye.
Guys, thank you again, and I just want to say, dear Father God, thank you so much for my friends. Thank you for the listeners. Please bless them and keep them safe. Help them through this pandemic, and bless their hearts. And the ones that have lost their loved ones, like my friend who we just lost, God, please protect their loved ones around them, and just keep them strong and give them comfort in this difficult time. We love you, and we thank you for everything. Thank you for the blessing of Soul Eye Records Radio that allow us to reach out to our other brothers and sisters around the world. Be blessed. Amen. Good night, guys.